Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem. Welcome back to today's Daf Hayomi. Chulin Daf Yotes. We begin 16 lines from the top. Amar Rav Huna. So he quotes Amar Rav Asi. This connects to yesterday. So he did the Shechita, but he veered out of the acceptable, zone. There's a certain area in the kana and the trachea and the windpipe where you're meant to do the cut, the shechita, and he went out of that zone. That is called hagrama. One of the disqualifications, one of the psulim of shechita, is hagrama, higrim. So you can either veer out, start inside, veer out, or start outside, veer in, or do the entire shechita outside. Too close to the throat, too far down the trachea, beyond the acceptable zone. So, Beit HaMachlokes, if he did mostly in the right place, but veered out at the end, so Rav was okay, but just a small percentage was not. According to the Chachamim, it's got to be 100% in the right place. If even a drop is outside of the range, it's possible. Whereas according to Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, it's all about majority, like anywhere else in the Torah. We follow Rav. If Rav was okay, then it's okay. Amar Rav Huna, Amar Rav Asi, machlekes. This whole discussion, this whole dispute. This that Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, accepts this this shechita because of the majority, because of the Rav factor, that's only in the following instance, when the hagrama was at the end of the shechita. So it was mostly okay, and then he veered out. And over here, according to him, we say it's okay, it's Rav. B'sheshachat shnei shlish, he did a proper shechita in the proper place, on the first two-thirds. So, 66% was okay. V'higrim shlish, at the last part, the last third, he veered out. He went too close to the throat. Here is the machlokes. The Rabbanon, they hold, they savri, kulo shechita ba'inam betabas gedelo. That's not sufficient. You need that the entire shechita, 100% of the cut, should be applied to the proper area. The tabas gedelo, in this case, the large ring, which we discussed yesterday. And if it's partially out, it's no good. Rabbi Yossi. But Rabbi Yehuda Savar, Rubai Kekulai, most, that's enough. That's like the entire thing was done properly. We followed the majority factor. But that's when the Hagrama took place at the end. Aval, however, Higrim Shlish, Vishachat Shnei Shlish, suppose it was exactly the opposite. The Hagrama was done at the beginning. The first third was Higrim, was outside of the area, and then he veered in to the kosher zone, v'shochat shnei shlish, and did the next two-thirds properly. In this case, all agree, it's possible, divri akol pesulo. You know why? The chinafka chiyusa. When did the chiyus, when did the life force of the animal end? So we know that it happens at roiv, right? When you go past 50%, that's the termination of life. You only have to cut 51%, right? Rav of the simon. So let's evaluate. What happened? Where was the animal holding at 51%? When the cut reached the majority point of the simon, where are we holding? How much of it was done properly? How much not? So let's think. If the first 33% was higrim, so when he pushed further, now in the kosher place, but he only got a very little amount of that 51% to be properly done. 33% was out. And only from 33 to 51% is kosher. So, the chinafke chiyusa, when the chiyus terminated, you didn't have 51% of proper shechita. Be'inan, we need ruba b'shechita. It should be 51, mostly b'shechita, but lucky you don't have it in this case. Right? Rashi says that the Lashon Ruba Shchita means that the Raif, which actually makes the Shchita happen, the 51% of that Siman that's being cut has to be done properly. In this case, the first third wasn't. So that's Rav Huna quoting Rav Asi. Omar le Rav Chizda, responds Rav Chizda, exactly the opposite. Adarab, just the opposite. Leima mar efcha, why don't you say the other way around? Machlekes b'shehigrim shlish v'shochat shnei shlish. If anything, the machlekes, the discussion in Mishnah, is exactly in this case. We started with Hagrama, and then did shchit on the last two-thirds. Here, there's room for discussion. Rabbi Yisrael read the Savar, he says, it's okay. Why? Despite having started with Hagrama, it's okay. You know why? Because how much Hagrama took place? Only a third. It's like a person who encounters the kana, the trachea, half split. Half split is not a problem yet. Rashi explains there's no din of trefa yet. It's still okay. Because only if it goes past the halfway mark is it considered severely injured to the point that it's called a trefa and you know it's possible. So if the kana was just split, naturally split, okay, split up until half, the animal's still kosher. And now if you should take a knife and just push it a little further past 51%, it's a proper shechita. Here as well. The hagrama took place initially was like a split kana. Ignore the fact that it was done improper. It's a broken kana, but only a small part is broken. It's still okay. And now when he continued on and did a proper shechita, and he pushed it and cut it till 51%, it's okay. There was no disqualifying cut there. That should disqualify the shechita, even though technically only cut, properly cut only a small amount, but he pushed it over the 51% mark. That's Rabbi Yisi Rabbi's opinion. And therefore he accepts the shechita. Rabbanan, Sabri, they disagree, Rabbanan say. Hasam okim shechita. Big difference between the split kana. Sure, he didn't do the shechita, it was split naturally, and he just pushed it a bit further past the 50 mark line, but there's a saving grace here. The kana was split in a makam shechita within the accepted shechita zone. It wasn't actually shechted, but you can sort of incorporate it into the eventual cut. Hachala makam shechita. Here, when he started out of the zone, it's a disqualifying element. It's a negative element that will interfere with the eventual cut. So now we the machlekes. He says it's okay, they say it's not. But in the case where it was mostly cut properly in the proper zone and then he veered out, all agree that's okay. Raiv determines the status of the shechita. In this case, majority was okay, it's okay. Aval shachat shnei shlish. But if he started with two-thirds of a proper shechita in the proper zone, within the kana, v'higrim shlish, and then he tilted his knife out and veered outside the zone for just the last third, all agree, done is done. Divrei kol kshera. Why not? Now we have a Mishnah, ruba shelechad kamayu. By cutting most of the simen, it's like cutting the entire simen. You don't need to cut the entire thing, and here it was mostly cut properly. Amalei Rav Yosef. So Rav Yosef responded to Rav Chizda, you're assuming that all agree, rave is enough. Man, name alone, it's based on that Mishnah. Who's to say that Dahu, Ruba da Hasam, that Mishnah which allows Roiv, Lav Rabbi Yasi, Rabbi Yudu Ketani La, that it's not Rabbi Yasi speaking, maybe it's just him speaking. Maybe Dilma Rabbi Yasi, Rabbi Yudu Ketani La, maybe it's only him. It's his view, it reflects his Shita, but the Rabbanim say you don't go with Roiv by Shita. Omali Abai responds, why would you suggest that it's only his personal opinion? Atu Kol Rubi de Alma, you think throughout the Torah, whenever Roiv is discussed, the concept of majority, determining, I think that's his personal view. Rabbi Yasi, Rabbi the Ketanilu, he's the one that's espousing it. Of course, it's universal. Everybody knows about Rav. Amrle, he says, no, I didn't mean anywhere else. I meant over here by Shechita. Perhaps only he applies the concept of Rav to Shechita, not to Rabbanon. So you can't you know, assume anything. Amalei ano, I, ruba de shechita kamin. I was specifically referring to halachos of roiv regarding shechita. De shemanu lo de pligi. Since we know there's a machlekes in our Mishnah regarding the agrama, when there's a roiv that's kasher, so who's to say that that Mishnah that applies roiv to shechita is not him speaking, and only him? Perhaps the Rabbanan disagree. Okay, so bottom line is like this. Rav Huna quoted Rav Asi that when you have the hagrama at the very end of the shechita, so it was mostly okay, but partially not. Rabbi Yisrael read this as okay, could have roiv. Rabbanan say not. But if the hagrama was the initiation of the cut, all agree it's possible. Rav Chisda went the other way, so it's just the opposite. If the hagrama is at the end, so you have a majority cut properly, all agree it's okay, roiv works. The machlokes is only when the agrama was used to start the cut. Do we say it's okay because it's like the, you know, a split kana, and he's just continuing on that track and he's completing it into a proper shechita? Do we say no? Here it's worse because the initial agrama is a disqualifying element. Continues the Gemara. Lishna achrina amrila. There was actually another version of the same back and forth and exactly the opposite. The same concepts, but the names are sort of switched around, who said what and who said who. Lishna achrina amrila. Omer Rav Huna, Omer Rav Asi. So again, we start with Rav Huna quoting Rav Asi. Machlokes. The discussion between the Rabbanan and Rabbi Yesi, Rabbi Yehuda, regarding a partial hagrama is only shehigrim shlish v'shachat shnei shlish. He started. The hagrama was the initiation, and he concluded with two-thirds of a proper shechita. So what's the machlokes? As we said before, it's pretty much the same factors, just the arrangement here is a little switched. To Rabbi Yesi, Rabbi Dasava, he holds it's okay, because the initial hagrama did no harm. It's like a split kana, partially split. It's okay. It's pending. You know, and if he continues with the proper shechita, and the shechita brings it past the 50 mark line, it's okay. It's like the kana, which is half split, and then eventually cut with the proper shechita. That's okay. Rabbanan Sabri, they disagree. Here it's way worse. Hagrama is a disqualifying, it's a negative element that interferes with the eventual shechita. Rabbanan Hasam Makam Shechita, there it was merely split, but in the place of the shechita, so now he just continues on that line and he incorporates the initial cut into the concluding act of shechita. Hachalam Makam Shechita, here the Hagrama, which was the initiation, was outside the Makam Shechita. That cannot be incorporated into the eventual cut. So that's the machlekes. But if the agrama took place at the very end of a mostly successful shechita, all agree it's okay. Roiv was done properly. It's done. Aval shachad shnei shlish. But if you did a proper shechita on the first two thirds of the siman, v'higrim shlish, and the agrama only applied to the last third, done is done. Divrei HaKol all agree it's kshera. That's not. We have a mishnah. As long as you cut through most, it's okay. Rubo yishlechad kamayu. Maskel Rav Chisda. Because Rav Chizan asks on this, Man Leimolan Dahu Ruba Dahasam Lav Rabbeis Rabbi the Katanala. You bring a raif in the Mishnah that raif works. Who says that is not merely reflective of Rabbeis Shita? Duma Rabbeis Rabbi the Katanala. Maybe it's only his opinion. But the Rabban would not allow raif to work. Amali Rabbeis. So he says, Atukul Ruba the Amma Rabbeis Rabbi the Katanala. You mean everywhere in the Torah where raif is applied, it's only his Shita? It's a universally accepted concept, roiv, in the Torah. Amar Leis, he says, no, I agree. I meant specifically by shechita. No, ruba de shechita kamina. De shamanu le pligi. We know there's a machlokes regarding a roiv by shechita. Perhaps that Mishnah is reflective of his opinion and not the Rabbanan. So basically, according to this second version, it was the other way around. Rav Huna Rav Asi was pretty much with Rav Chizda's a position, in the first version, and Rav Chisda disputed that. Okay, so now we move on to another case of a partial hagrama. Let's just summarize before we begin the next piece. So we had a Gemara where there was a partial hagrama. So according to the first version of Rav Asi, when he concluded with the hagrama, so it was roiv shechta properly, just the end was a problem. Rabbi Yisi says, it's okay, roiv works. Rabbanan say no. Roiv is not a factor at play here because there's a special halacha called hagrama. If he veers that, even at the end, disqualifies the entire shechita. But if the hagrama was at the beginning, all agree it's possible. And Rabbi Chisda went the other way. He says, what do you mean? If the agrama is at the end, of course it works. Roiv, everybody agrees to roiv. Machlek is only when the agrama was at the beginning. Can we say, look, no harm was done yet? It's only a little bit of a improper cut, and then he just continues and sort of salvages it by doing a proper shechita. Can we use that rationale or not? Okay, so that was the discussion until this point. Continues the Gemara. What about a partial hagrama in the following manner? And then Farshim point out that we're sort of switching. Now it's Rav Huna quoting Rav. It's a different opinion, different type of case. Okay, so it's not related to the previous Gemara. Higrim shlish, v'shachat shlish, v'higrim shlish. First third was higrim. The last third was higrim in the middle, which is actually which is the most critical part of the cut, because as we explained, as soon as it gets to 51%, that's when the life ends. That's when the chiyus gets extracted. So that's the pivotal point of the shechita. At that point, he was actually shechting properly. Right? The first and last third were bad, but the middle was okay. How would you treat this case? Higrim shlish, v'shachat shlish, v'higrim shlish. Again, we have a machlekes. And machlekes is whether you focus on that pivotal 51% mark, if at that point he was engaged in a proper shechita in the proper location, you're good. According to another opinion, look at the sum total of this cut. Was 51% cut properly? No. So it's possible. Rav Huna Amar Rav Ksheira, it's okay. Rav Yehuda Amar Rav Treifa, it's no good. Rav Huna Amar Rav Ksheira, where was he holding at 0.51? He was shechting. That's good. Kinafka Chiyusa, when the Chiyus left the animal, which means at 0.51%, Bishchita Kinafka. It left because of the act of Shechita that was occurring at that moment, so it's okay. Rav Yehuda Marav says, no, it's treifa. But inan ruva b'shechita. But lucky, you need that. 51% of the total cut here should be done with a proper shechita. You don't have it. Because it was two-thirds hagrama and only one-third shechita. Next case, exactly the opposite situation. Shechat shlish, v'higrim shlish, v'shechat shlish. Third, third, and a third, right? Shechita, higrim, and shechita. So here, the tables turn, right? Because the moment of nafka chiyusa, the moment of life termination, which is at 51, what was he engaged in? Hagroma. So that's if you look at the 0.51. But if you look at the totality, in totality, there was more shechita than none. It was shechita, hagroma, and then shechita, so it should be okay. So basically, these opinions should now switch around. Shachat shlish, v'higrim shlish, v'shachat shlish. Rav Yehuda Amar Rav says it's kshera, because it was mostly a proper shechita. So Rav Yehuda quoted Rav that it's okay. Also, shailu l'Rav Huna. They went to consult with Rav Huna, I guess assuming that he would go the other way. Amar lu treifa. So actually, he said it's a treifa, because at the mid-third, which is where the chiyus left, he was doing hagrama. And that's what determines. Shama Rav Yehuda, when Rav Yehuda heard that Rav Huna opposed him in this one, ikbid, he was less than pleased. Amar, he says, he's always going against me. But whatever I say, he says the opposite. I say black, he says white. I say white. Tarifna, Amar, tarifna. When I say treifa, umachsha, he's machsha. Machshana, whatever I qualify, tarif, he disqualifies. Amar Rav Huna. So Rav Huna responded, yeah, you know, he has a point. Shapir ka mikpad. I understand why he's unhappy. He's right. He has a point. Chada, first of all, the yusham shmiel neider Rav. In this instance, he actually has a proper source. He heard it from Rav. Vanaloy shmieli. I didn't hear directly from Rav. I was just assuming. So he has one over me on that. But furthermore, ha'ika ruva b'shchita. He has a point because it was mostly done with a proper shchita. So why am I disqualifying it? Amar li Rav Chizda. Oh, so Chizda quickly followed up to him. He says, no, don't change your mind. Don't change your mind. Stick to your guns. Consider it a treifa. We turn to Amid Beis, because otherwise you'll be inconsistent with your earlier ruling. Right? It's sort of a flip side of the earlier ruling. It's all about what's happening at 51%, right? Because otherwise, in the earlier case, you had said that it's kosher because he was doing shechita at that middle point. And if you're now going to change your mind and you're going to require that mostly it was done with a proper shechita. So in the first case, there was no proper shechita on most of it. Shechita was only in the middle third. So now you're going to disqualify that shechita. You're going to be destroying the first one. Why? Because pretty much it's a flip side, one of the other. It goes hand in hand. It's the same equation. Why did you accept that earlier shechita where the middle third was being done properly? Because it's all about when the chiyus leaves, which is at 0.51. It left while he was doing a proper cut. So this is pretty much the other side of that same equation. Hachanami here as well, where the hagrama was occupying the middle third, you're going to have to consider it a treifa. Kinafka chiyusim, the chiyus left, but hagrama kanafka, and that left while hagrama was taking place. So you can't pick and choose. You can't go one way there, one way here, right? You got to either stick to your guns in both way, in both cases, one way or the other, right? Iklur of Nachmul Isura. Okay, so in a nutshell, the machlokes is what determines the totality of this experience. Is it what's occurring at the moment of 51%, or the sum total of this whole cut? If it was mostly b'shchita, it's okay, otherwise not. That's machlek between Rav Yehuda, looks at the act of shchita, it has to be mostly a shchita, whereas Rav Huna looks at what's happening at the point of roif. Iklu Rav Nachman l'sura. Once Rav Nachman came to a town of Surah, Bo Minei, so the locals asked him, what would you say about this very question? A third, a third, and a third. Bo Minei, they asked him, Shachat Shlish, Vehigrim Shlish, Veshachat Shlish. Okay? First third was a proper Shechita, and so was the last. The middle was Hagrama. Sounds familiar? Mal Amar Luis, he says, Lav Hainu Drav Elazar Bamin Yumi. Isn't this comparable to the halacha that Rav Elazar teaches us that it's no good? That it is good. Amar Elazar Rav Yumi Shchita Hasuyi Kemastrik. A shchita that appears like a zigzag, in and out, like a teeth of a comb. Kshera, that's okay. And the Gemara is assuming that he meant this very case. He started the cut in the zone. He went out, came back. So it's okay. No, who says he's talking about this case? Maybe Rabbi Elazar was speaking where the shechita was in the proper area, within the zone. Just he cut in a funny way, he cut like a zigzag. But if he veers out of the makam shechita, who says he's even... b'makam shechita ma'ala meimra, if he's speaking within the accepted zone, I mean, why even discuss this type of case? Of course it's okay. Why even, what's the need to discuss it? Well, Mao Dutema, perhaps there's room to think that it's not a proper cut. Shechit is only acceptable if it's a clean cut, not this funny zigzag. Mao Dutema, Be'ina, we require a shechit mefiras, clear and open, clean. Veleka, and in this case where it's like zigzagging, it's not so. Kamash Malon, the answer is it's okay. But in any case, he's speaking within the accepted, zone of the trachea. But who says if he veers out, comes back in, that should be Yosef Rabbi Abba. Another story, Rabbi Abba was sitting acharei behind Rav Kahana, behind Rav Kahana. Yosef Kahana came into Rabbi Yehuda. Rav Kahana was sitting in front of Rabbi Yehuda, their Rabbi. And he asked his Rabbi a question. Yosef, Rav Kahana was sitting and presenting to Rabbi Yehuda, to the Rabbi, what happens when it's a third, third, and a third? Exactly our case. Shachat shlish, v'yigrim shlish, v'shachat shlish. First third was okay, so was the last. The middle was hagrama. Again, the same case as before. Amar Lacy says, it's all about the totality. Look at the sum total. Was it mostly shechted? Then it's okay. Shtasik shera. Okay, what about the other way around? Higrim shlish, v'shachat shlish, v'higrim shlish. He started and ended with hagrama, and the middle third was shechita. Ma, what's the halachas? He says, it's good, it's possible, which is consistent with what he said before. That's Rabbi Yehuda's shita. It's all about percentages. Next question, which we haven't really analyzed yet. Shachat v'mokim nekev. So we made reference to this before. We have the kana. It turns out that it was really partially split already. Just pre-split, okay? So you have the kana, and it's split, but only halfway, up until half. which is still okay. It's not considered a treifa. The shechet takes his knife, slides it right into that split, and just pushes down until he pushes it past 50%. Ma, what's the halacha? Amar leish tasek shera. So Rav Yehuda says it's okay. I mean, why not? Just because you only have to cut a little bit, okay, got away with a little work. It's okay. Ultimately, he made the shechita happen. What if it's the other way around? He started on the whole part of the kana, shachad, pogo benekav, and as he's cutting, suddenly he sees that the kana split. Split to the end. So again, he only cut a little bit. But ultimately, he split the whole kana because he connected to that pre-existing split. Mao. What's the status in this case? Amalei? Shechitasei psula. He says, in this case, it doesn't work. And soon we'll explain exactly what the difference is. I mean, you would think it's pretty similar to the previous case. Let's see. Azal Rabbi Abba. Rabbi Abba, upon hearing this verdict, went and related this interesting halacha, Amra Kamei, to Rabbi Elazar. Azal Rabbi Elazar, so he went, Amra, and he presented it, Kamei to Rabbi Yechon, Amra Lei. So Rabbi Yechon asked the obvious, what is the difference between two cases? Maishna. What's the difference where the split was? Was it on top? Was it on bottom? That he cut from the split, or he cut into the split, and he encountered the split. Amar Lei, says, Rabbi Elazar says, I'll tell you the difference. Shachad u'makim nekev. If he put his knife into the nekev and just pushed it further, you know why it's okay? Nase k'mi, it's comparable to a case of sheshachat oivet k'cham. Imagine a guy who is not qualified to do shechita. Cuts through half of the kana, no harm done yet. V'gamar Yisrael, Yisrael comes along and just pushes it a little bit further to get to the roiv. It's okay because he, the Yisrael, terminated the life of the animal. He made the shechita happen. The guy just prepared that eventual shechita, but the Yisrael ultimately did the act of shechita. However, if it's the other way around, shachad upaga bay nekev. If the shechid started cutting and he encounters that pre-existing split, which completes the cut, that's way worse. Because ultimately, who made it happen? The split. The split pushed it past 51. It wasn't a proper shechita. Shachad upaga b'negev nasek misheshachad Yisrael v'gomer v'kilchom. It's like the previous scenario in the reverse. It's like Yisrael begins a shechita, cuts a little bit, and the guy comes and pushes it past 51. Ultimately, the guy made the shechita. It's possible. Okay, so Rabbi Yechanan, upon hearing this distinction and this comparing to the guy, Karele, he calls out on him. He says, "Oyved gicham, gicham, why are you getting involved in something rationalizing by way of goyim?" And I don't understand that kind of explanation. What's the comparison? What's the connection to the guy? Amar Rava. So Rava actually backed up Rabbi Yechanan's criticism. Shapir Koreli, I understand why. He dismissed them with a guy, with guy, guy. You know what? You know what he meant? You can't compare the two stories. Bishlei Mahasam. We could fully understand the case of the actual Yid and the guy joining forces to do a shechita. I understand why there it's possible, but that has no relation to our case. You know why? In the case where the Yisrael initiated and the guy concluded, Yisrael should have done right. The kana was whole, it was available, it was meant to be cut. And the Yisrael failed to do right. He only did, 50%. The guy pushed it past. So the chiyus of the animal was still there. Until the guy came along and concluded it. So it's possible. The chiyus left the animal by way of the guy's act. So ultimately, it's considered the shechita of a guy. It all relates to him. He did the punchline. But in our case, where he started cutting, and then he slides into the pre-existing cut, there was nothing more to cut. Right? Whatever he can cut, he can cut. There's nothing missing. It's like a full cut and the guy had to come. There's nothing to cut, it's split. So whatever was available to be cut, he did. So it's a full shechita. halacha, but now a case where he started cutting and suddenly his knife slides into this split and it's done. Michti, look, mishchat shachet. The sheikha did whatever he could cut in that kana. Right? So whatever life force was there, he cut it away, that's it. Mali b'mokim nekev, mali pogamay nekev. What's the difference which way it goes? If he slid his knife into that split and just continued on, or you went the other way around, he cut and then encountered the split. Either way, he's the one who ultimately terminated the life force of the animal. And he cut whatever there's to cut. The life force of the animal was contingent upon that sort of connection. That was severed, so he did it. Ultimately, we have a fully cut kana done by Yisrael. Mali b'makim nekev, mali b'pogam nekev. So either way, it's okay. So he disagrees with this distinction. He says, very different than the case of the guy. Here, all agree it's okay. Okay, so again, in conclusion, we have various hagrama arrangements. Hagrama meaning a shechita outside the accepted, you know, zone, accepted range in the kana. We started with an explanation relating to the machlekes between Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, and the Rabbanan. If it was roiv properly, but just a little bit, it was hagrama. Rabbi Yossi Rida says it's okay, roiv is acceptable. Rabbanan say no, it's not. According to one approach, machlekes is only when the hagrama was at the end. Machlekes is whether we follow roiv. And according to the other approach, in that case, we all agree it's okay. Machlekes is when the hagrama was at the beginning. Shall we say it's like just a split kana and he's continuing and bringing it to the point of shechita? Do we say here it's worse because hagrama is out of the zone? It's worse. It's a negative factor which interferes. And then we went on to a case of third, and a third, where according to one approach, it's all about what's happening at point 51. Is he doing shechita at that point? That's okay. Otherwise not. According to the other approach, it's about the sum total of what happened. If it's mostly cut properly, it's okay, otherwise not. Very interesting machlokes in a case where it was a nekev, according to some shitas. Doesn't matter whether the nekev was the start of the cut, at the end of the cut, or the other shita, it does make a difference. Says the Mishnah. Ha-shoyeched b'nat staden, shchitas ekshera. So we know that by a bird, typically you do shchita as well. Shchita from the neck, right? But if it's a carbon, then the process changes. It's called malika. The kohen takes his fingernail and slits off the head of the bird, but from the back of the neck. So we're going to compare the act of shechita vis-a-vis the act of malika, and highlight all the, you know, distinctive elements between them. Hashoechet v'nat stadna shechita sekshir. So shechita can be done either from the front of the neck, or even the sides of the neck, not the back of the neck. Hamoylik, however, may not stud him. He does a malika in any area aside from the actual back. For instance, the sides of the neck, malika so is psul. Hashoicha bin oiref, he does shchita from the back, shchita so psul. Hamoylik bin oiref, he does malika in the back of the neck. That's fine, malika so kshira. Hashoicha bin atzaber, shchita so kshira. Shchita is meant to be done from the neck. That's okay. Hamoylik v'nat tzaber, because psula malika on the neck is no good, because malika and shchita are exact opposites. Shekol ha'oref kashel malika. The oref is acceptable for malika. V'chalat tzaber kashel shchita. For shchita, you have to do it in the tzaber. Nimsa, turns out that it's a flip side equation, right? Nimsa kashel b'shchita, the area which is kashel for shchita, namely the neck, possible malika is not acceptable for malika. Kasha b'malika, the back of the neck, which is the appropriate location for malika, possible b'shchita, is possible for shchita. Says the more, my oiref. The term oiref in the Mishnah, what is that referring to? Ilei ma'oiref mamash. Is it the oiref mamash, which means to say the back of the head? Right? So we have the face of the bird, the back of the head, and then we go down to the neck. You have the front of the neck, the back of the neck. So what is Oiref? Is the back of the head, which is the opposite of the face of the bird? Ilim Oiref Mamish. And you're going to do Malika there? My area is Sheikhet. why point out that shechita there is not acceptable? Afilu meilek nami, even malika in that area is not acceptable. Mimul arpay amar achmana. The pasuk in describing malika describes it as mimul arpay, next to the back of the neck, meaning below the back next to the back of the head, the back of the neck, right? Amar achmana says the pasuk below arpay, not the actual back of the head. Ela my oirif. What then does the Mishnah mean? Oirif mimul oirif. The back of the neck, which is opposite, which is a continuum with the back of the head. Chilitani seif, as we find in the next part of the Mishnah, kol oirif kashal malika. Kol oirif kashal malika. What does that kol oirif mean? Kol means the extension of the oirif. The back of the neck, which is below the oirif. Menon and Mili, how do we know that in fact malika takes place over there? Tan rabban meva rice. The malika is mimul arpay, which means mul, the area that it's next to the harayas oirif. Mul means it's next to the back of the neck. V'chinu oimer, as we find in the pasuk, where he was complaining about klal yisrael that was camped, you know, next to him. V'chinu oimer v'yesh mimuli. Klal yisrael is opposite me, next to me. Right? So you see that mul doesn't mean on; it means right, Rashi says, we see from here that mul is love, o love mamashu. Doesn't mean on, it means within range, that you see him. Because they weren't living right on, they weren't sitting on balak, it means they were sitting at a distance, at close enough that he can see them. So you see that mimul arpoi likewise doesn't mean on the oirif, it means opposite, means next to the oirif. Likewise, we find the pasuk kipanu elai oirif v'leipanim, my children, Kali Yisrael, turn their backs to me rather than facing me face to face. So you see, the oirif is the back. My boimer, what's the point of the second pasuk? What's that adding? V'chitema, perhaps you'll ask. Okay, we know mimul arpa means next to the oirif. What is oirif? V'chitema oirif gufei, the term oirif itself, what is that? How do you define leidinin? Heicha. How do we define the word oirif? We don't even know what that is. The neida mul didei hecha, that we can then figure out the mul of the oirif, where that is. Tashma comes the second pasuk, that oirif is the back of the face, back of the head. Tashma kipono like oirif leponim. They turn their back and not their face. Evidently, the oirif is the back of the face, the back of the head. Machlal de oirif la deponim. Apparently, oirif is the back of the face. So you know there's a face. Behind that is the back, is the oirif of that face. And below that is the mul arpoi, we do the malika. Continues the Gemara, Amri b'nei Rabbi Chiya. The sons of Rabbi Chiya, whose name were Yehuda and Chizkiya, presented as follows. This relates back to the Mishnah, where we learned that, in contrast to shechita, which takes place at the front of the neck, malika is from the back, and shechita from the back is no good, Rashi explains in the Mishnah, because you know what happens? First he encounters the spinal cord, the backbone, and by severing those elements, now the bird is a treifa. Severely injured, totally. A non-candidate for shechita. He can't permit it by way of shechita. It's already a treifa. And that's why shechita from the back does not work, but malika from the back works. That's the way malika is meant to be. Come the Bnei Reb Chiya and tell us, mitzvahs malika, that even by malika, you're meant to ensure that there's no treifa issues. How? By twisting the simanim to the back of the neck. So that when you do malika, you encounter the simanim first, before you had a chance to make it a treifa. Mitzvah's malika, the mitzvah is to be machzer simanim lachari oirif, to twist the simanim, food pipe, the windpipe, to the back of the neck. U'moylek, and do malika in that fashion. Now there are two ways to learn. Some say, af machzer, you could do it. You don't need to, but you could. Because even if you don't, and you actually cut through the backbone first, that's okay. That's what malika was meant to be. V'ikad amri, some learn, machzer davka, you have to twist it to the back first, to avoid any treifa issues. Mistavra, the Gemara concludes, it is more probable to say, like the first way, command Amar, like the opinion of Af Machzer, you could. You don't need to, but you could. But even if you don't, that's a fine Malika. And Rashi, the Mishnah actually explains how it works. He says, because although in terms of, you know, you break it down frame by frame, you first cut through the spinal, the backbone, and then only then the siman, it doesn't matter. We look at the whole experience as one continuum, one uninterrupted procedure. And ultimately, it was shechted properly. How do we know this is so? How do we know that by Malika, you typically don't have the simanim in the back? You don't need to. Mimai, midiktani. Look at the Mishnah. It says, Hashecha ben oirev shudasi psulov. He did shechita, you know, with a knife from the back, it's possible. Hamoylik ben oirev, milkasek shera. Malika from the back is okay. Now, the whole reason for disqualifying a back shechita is due to the treifa concern, because you've severed the spinal, the backbone first. Hold it. We're talking about the simanim there first, because he twisted the simanim to the back. We turn to the next page. V'yisagadaitach, if you're going to tell me machzer dafka, that every malika entails simanim first, simanim to the back, and that's when you count to first. So why does the Mishnah say if he does shechita with a knife, it's puzzle? The whole issue is that it's a trait. It's not, because he encounters the simanim first. Ma'yiri Moilek. Why specify Moilek as being good and not Shoichet? Afilu Shoichet Nami. Even if you choose to do Shechita, it's a regular bird, right? Took a knife, but did it from the back. It's okay, provided the simanim were encountered first. Elo Lavashmami, no Af Machzer. Apparently, by Malika, he need not twist the simanim to the back. And that's what the Mishnah is talking about. A case where everything was arranged naturally, nothing was manipulated. He didn't twist the simanim to the back. And on that, the Mishnah says, that's why if he does shechita from the back, it's possible, because it's a treifa, as opposed to Malika, which is meant to be that way. Amar Rabbi Yanai, Yikablu haroivin es shuvasim. The raven, the youngsters, the Bnei Ravchia, will now receive their refutation. We're going to refute them from the Mishnah. We're going to see that you can't, you're not supposed to manipulate the bird. Tony, look at the Mishnah. Mishnah concludes with an interesting formula, which is almost sounds like a repetition. The Tony, it says, Nimtza, turns out that Malika and Shechita are flip sides, right? Nimtza, Kosha, Beshechita. What's good for Shechita is possible Malika, is no good for Malika. And vice versa. Kasha for Malika is possible Shechita. What's the Mishnah coming to add? Lumutamai to exclude what? What are we coming to disqualify? Lav lamote, machzer simanim. Machzer simanim, lachayra erif deloy. Apparently, the Mishnah is telling us that flipping the simanim to the back is not acceptable for Malika. Malika is meant to be done the way that the bird is naturally arranged. So although if he does that, flip to the back, and does shechita with a knife, it's kasha, because the whole point was shechita in the back is no good because of the treifa. In this case, you avoid the treifa issue, but Malika in that manner doesn't work. Torah says, do Malika from the back, the way the back is situated, without manipulation. Unlike Bnei Rabchia, who allow turning the simanim to the back from Malika. Well, says the Gemara, not so quick. Amar Rabba Bar Bachan, loy. Maybe the Mishnah is not alluding to this case. Lemut Hashen Vitziparin. The Mishnah is coming to exclude using something attached, like a tooth, or like a fingernail, which is disqualified for Shechita. You can't use that for Shechita. Shechita needs to be done with a detached utensil, as we learned back in the Fitches. Whereas by Malika, you could. That is the essence of Malika. Snapping the head off by way of the Kain's thumbnail. So maybe that's what the Mishnah means. The fingernail, which is good for Malika, is not going to work for Shechita. Shein v'tzipurin discuss these items, but had Yekhtani, we've discussed them openly earlier. Why the repetition? Elam Rabbi Yirmi, you're right. L'mutim malacha, maybe. Mishnah's come to exclude something else. The back and forth motion. That only by Shechita you do it that way. By Malika, you just press down and you snap off the head. Hanichel mandamar. That's good if you say that back and forth motion by Malika is no good. Hanichel mandamar moiluch maybe by Malika's puzzle. Okay, then that will work. El mandamar kasha. But the one who holds that, just like the back and forth movement works by shchita, works by Malika as well, Michael Meir, then you're out of business, and this whole inference doesn't work. The answer is Bnei Rab Chia, apparently the Bnei Rab Chia, who have to apply the Mishnah to this case, because otherwise it disqualifies their whole halacha. Savor lo k'mandamar, they hold like the opinion, Malika maybe Malika apostle. You can't do Malika with a back and forth motion. And that's exactly what the Mishnah is coming to disqualify, but not a case of manipulating the Simanim to the back, which according to them is fine. Talking of which, Omar Rav Kahana, mitzvahs malika, koitetz v'yerit. How do you do malika properly? You snap with your fingernail, right? Straight down, a clean snap, without the back and forth motion. V'zum mitzvahs, and that's the way it's fulfilled. Now, Sovar v'Avin l'meimar, v'Avin figured, only this way. A clean snap down. Koitzitz v'yerid in, snapping down. Yeah, moilucha maybe loy, but swinging back and forth like a knife wouldn't work. Amalei Rav Yirmi says, no. And here we have these two opinions. Koshkin, of course, it's even better. The moilucha maybe going back and forth, but Malika is okay, it's kosher. Because the Torah only highlights certain elements that are different by Malika than by Shechita. One is fingernail instead of a knife. Number two is location, back instead of the front. The Torah doesn't specify snap as opposed to sawing back and forth. If anything, it's better. It's more similar to Shechita. Umay zu mitzvasa, order of Kana. Use the term zui mitzvasa, which sounds like only a snap down works. Ema will learn af. Also, zui mitzvasa, it could also be done this way, but of course, if you go back and forth, it's fine. Okay, so let's just summarize this last piece. We had a Mishnah and a Gemara. Contrasting Shechita and Malika, there are many differences. One is utensil, Malika's fingernail, Shechita is by way of a knife. Second is location, Shechita is on the neck, front or sides. Malika is specifically in the back of what? Back of the neck, which is in close proximity to the back of the head. That's learned from the Psukim. Then Bnei Rav Chia allowed, or perhaps insisted, that even by Malika, he twists the Samarim to the back. The Gemara refuted that. And regarding the actual Malika motion, we have a machlekes, whether it's a snap down or back and forth as well. Okay, all the best to you and aslach atzlachah.